Welcome back to the Dealmakers Podcast Show with serial entrepreneur Alejandro Cremades, best-selling author of The Art of Startup Fundraising and co-founder at Panthera Advisors. In this podcast, we ask our guests about their successful acquisitions and financing rounds.
Alrighty, hello everyone and welcome to the Dealmaker Show. So today we have a really amazing founder that was an operator, now turned founder, and his company is really remarkable. And we're going to be going into detail about it. We're going to be talking about the good stuff that we like to hear when it comes to building a hyper-growth company, you know, a company where you're going through all the cycles as a founder, as an operator. And again, brace yourself for a very inspiring conversation today. So without further ado, let's welcome our guest today, Larus Asgeirsson. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you.
So originally born, you know, there in let me see if I get it right, Iceland.
Yep.
Which is unbelievable. So give us a walk through memory lane. How was life growing up for you?
Well, that was a long time ago, last century. I grew up in a small fishing community where seafood and fishing was really the name of the game. Most people worked and supported the industry in these small communities in Iceland, where seafood and fishing was the main, was the only column of, to support the economy of the country.
And what got your interest into physics and math?
Well, that was I realized that my skills were more into that direction. And so I went into engineering and mechanical engineering and gradually moved into specialized in heat transfer and thermodynamics because we have a lot of geothermal energy in Iceland. So I thought early on I would become heavily involved in utilizing geothermal energy in Iceland.
And one thing that is pretty unique too is obviously technical background initially, but then the way that you combine that with operations, with marketing. You know, that makes you quite a complete operator. So how did you go about combining all these different skill sets too?
Yeah, it happened. I was working as a mechanical engineer in a startup business in Iceland to support the whitefish industry in Iceland. And then this company that I really put almost 25 years into was the company Marel that was about to be founded around that time. And I, with my technical background and industry know-how, I got involved in sales and marketing very early. And then I became more and more involved in that part and developed into running the sales and marketing operation and became one of the senior leaders.
How was that journey like? Because, I mean, Marel did pretty well, you know, became a giant. I mean, for the people listening, how big did Marel become and what was that journey? What was that for you?
Yeah, that was one of the, looking back, was I'm extremely proud of that journey because it came out of University of Iceland using then at that time a new technology, computer technology, and integrate that into fish processing machines, weighing and data registration. And using that, and we were the first movers to implement the computerized weighing and data collection, and that laid out the foundation of Marel and changed the whole industry because seafood became more and more valuable, and making sure that you would achieve high yield and high productivity, that was the name of the game, and that was what Marel stood for.
Well, without distribution, there's nothing, right? I mean, there's some people build it and they will come, you know, that's what they hope for, and then there's crickets. I mean, in your case, one thing that you pushed as part of this experience was building distribution networks. So I guess for the people that are listening to that, you know, they're thinking about their go-to-market and acquisition channels and distribution. I mean, what could you tell them that perhaps, you know, you got as a key takeaway from the experience at Marel?
No, I think the key takeaway in the early on was the most successful product was the weighing at sea, using a scale that could accurately weigh seafood on board a rolling vessel. And this was a unique product, but its market was relatively small, and you would saturate that market very easily. So you had to think globally. You had to find all the markets in the world and organize your structure to attack all these markets. And we, over a period of few years, we managed to penetrate almost every market in the world that had need for this type of product. So it, by understanding the market and really understanding the key core value of the product, you could go very aggressively B2B. It's not a retail, it's a business to business. And with well-selected salespeople and local support, we captured this market in globally in a relatively short period of time.
How was also the jump? Because, I mean, here you were pushing for sales, you were doing marketing. You also did some corporate development, which I thought that gave you some good eye view into the transactional side of things, especially when it comes to integration. But how was that jump to all of a sudden becoming a CEO? You know, and that's something that you experienced, you know, a couple of times before you actually went at it on your own as an entrepreneur. What was that journey like transitioning and taking a step up into leadership?
Yeah, that was, the journey was really related to our success with Marel going into seafood, and then we could use the technology going into poultry and red meat industry. And our core know-how was the seafood industry. So we realized to take the company further, we had to go into acquisition. So we made a lot of acquisition. Three of them were with businesses mainly in Europe, where we were buying companies that were far bigger than we were. We did it not once, we did it three times. Two times with Danish companies and one Dutch companies. And that allowed us to capture the globally or become a key player in seafood, poultry, and red meat. But with this M&A work and taking over companies, you gradually, or you had to learn very quickly to jump into a much deeper pool than you were operating in before the acquisition. So that accelerated your development because we did this in a period of 10 years.
So eventually, how does that all crystallize into you becoming an entrepreneur? You know, what was the segue and the sequence of events that needed to happen for you to get there?
There were other steps along the way because I was asked to become a CEO of an insurance business that was had been taken over by the state of Iceland after the economy collapsed in 2008, and that was sold. And then I was I was a CEO of one of the biggest seafood trading company in the world for a couple of years. And then I got an opportunity to move to Middle East and join a greenfield project in starting up a poultry operation for a leading food producer in the Middle East. And so I was there mainly to execute for others. I was not a part of the, I was not a shareholder. I was not really in any of these companies. So when I returned back to Iceland and I thought I would be slowing down, then I saw this opportunity to join this company, Laxey, which is developing land-based salmon farming in Iceland. And I became one of the founders of that business.
And that's then amazing.
Then I became a true entrepreneur because I've been my whole professional career, I've been working for others.
I mean, how was that? Because, I mean, that sounds frightening. No, I mean, you are all your life being an operator, working for someone else. And then all of a sudden you find yourself really controlling and leading your own destiny. I mean, that's quite the change.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I was so fortunate to the other two co-founders are extremely talented people. And they manage day-to-day operation of Laxey. And I think in a way, both the project itself, producing salmon in a very sustainable way with green energy, and with these other founders, I could contribute with my experience to and complement their drive and the know-how they could bring to the project. I think that was very amazing, at least for me to come in as a founder in a team like that.
What were the, and I guess before even that, you know, for the people that are listening to really get it, what ended up being the business model of Laxey? How are you guys making money?
Well, it's first we have to, the plan is to produce more than 30,000 tons of salmon. And so this will become $300 to $350 million operation in 4 to 5 years from now. So we are building on the island of Vestmannaeyjar. It's on the south, most southern, on the south coast of Iceland. And we are, we need to raise equity of 200 million euros, and we will invest around 500 million euros in this project. To, so it's a huge, it's quite challenging to start up or with a project like this, because it's, the capital is very high. But with a good story, with there's a very strong demand for salmon around the world, and all analysts, they report that the market will outperform the supply. So this is an extremely interesting area to operate in. And so it's a, you, so route to market, or when we pitch a project to investors, they never ask, how will you market it? How will you, where, what is your market share, etc. It's a, there's a, such a huge demand. So it's more for us challenge to execute the project, to build the all the infrastructure that is needed to raise 30,000 tons of salmon every year.
Hey guys, so pardon the interruption here. So I got to tell you that, you know, for those of you that are either looking to raise money or you're looking to get your company acquired, you don't have to be alone. You know, there's a lot of psychology that needs to be blended with strategy, with methodology, with process. And it's very hard, and already doing your business alone is super, super difficult. So I remember, you know, back then when I was an entrepreneur, I kept really experiencing the challenge of either knowing or finding the right type of access to the right type of investors, or really understanding what was the right type of guidance, you know, that would carry me through the process, whether it was with seeking money or with going through the acquisition. So that gap that I found being an entrepreneur is ultimately what pushed me later on, when I met my co-founder at Pantera, Mike Severson, to really put together an advisory firm where we are guiding entrepreneurs and founding teams through the capital raising efforts, whether you are at a seed stage or at a Series A stage, or if you are going through the process of an acquisition and you are in small to mid-cap type of a cycle. So again, you know, we would help you from guiding you and supporting you from A to C all the way to the end as an extension of your team. And there's no reason for you to do this alone. So with that being said, if you would like to find out more, feel free to send me an email at alejandro@panteraadvisors.com. And we would love to take a look at helping you out.
What were the early days like? You know, the early days where you guys got started with this, and when you finally, you know, found yourselves turning around a corner and really understanding that the, that there was something big here going on.
Yeah, we realized in the beginning that it would be a big project, and but we decided to break it up into six phases. So focus on only one phase and raise capital to execute the first phase and necessary infrastructure, and but still giving the investor the view of the journey that it will take us to this more than 30,000 ton of salmon that to produce. And by having this scalable, it was easier to convince the first investors to join in. But that was not easy, and we didn't have any banks in the beginning to support us. It was all equity, our own equity. And one of the founders were quite successful seafood that was operating fishing vessels, and sold that and diverted the money into this project. So we were pretty much had to rely on ourselves and hard work in the beginning. And then gradually we started to get more and more people to join us. Key to that was that we made a plan, a time plan. We have been able to stick to that plan. We have been successfully been able to raise enough money to support the plan. So we are at the point that there are more people that would like to invest in this project we need. And also 8 months ago, we didn't have a bank. Now the banks are chasing us. So we have managed to come. And so as always, there is a sweet point. You need to a pivot point where it is uphill. And then suddenly you pass some milestones that are critical. And then things start to go downhill again. So we feel we are that it will be much easier to raise capital, get bank support. And early on, it was mainly Icelandic investors, but now we have international companies that are among investors.
How much money has the company raised to date, and what has been the journey of raising that money?
Yeah, we have raised around 100 million euros. That was the most critical round was in April and June earlier this year, where we raised 46 million. That was when we got on board many strategic investors. We were looking for not just investors, we were looking for people that could, they liked the money, but we needed desperately to get strategic investors or people that could, or investors that could bring more to the table than the money.
I hear you. So what would that look like? Or what does that look like? You know, that level of value that you guys are extracting from those investors.
So we get the strategic guidance, networking, a lot of experience that are brought on board, allow us to recruit the right people because they know what kind of people are out there. And also we have managed to fill the board of directors with very experienced people that have brought as well guidance and given credibility to the business, that having those board members with us, then that's a strong indication we are on the right track, and we have the confidence in our strategy and execution of the strategy is high.
So in that regard too, I mean, now you're serving as the chairman of the board. So talk to us about board dynamics and being able to get those investors to the table and to push the strategic direction of the business. What does it look when a board is effective?
I think you need active board members. You need to have people with diverse background and experience, like in our case, because we are on this island with a population of 5,000 people. We are very dependent on relationship with the community, with the town council, etc. So we have one board member from the community, and then we have three international salmon or people with international experience in operating salmon companies around the world. And I bring to the table a lot of management experience from other, not necessarily from salmon, but from poultry farming, shrimp farming, and also seafood experience. So we have a good combination of people that can contribute from with these diverse experience and different backgrounds.
So now let's talk about vision, because obviously when these investors are investing, they're investing in the future, right? And into what's possible. So if you were to go to sleep tonight, and let's say you are all waking up to a world where the vision of Laxey is fully realized, what does that world look like?
So our vision today is really to, we see ourselves being a leading supplier of salmon produced in the most sustainable way. Among other things, we plan to ship all the by ocean freight from Iceland. We can reach Europe and we can reach North America. So, and with the green energy and from hydropower plants in Iceland. So we believe we are, so we can, we see this and this vision to be become one of the leaders in producing sustainable land-based salmon. And I think beyond this project, I would expect that shareholders will be interested to use that experience to go beyond this project, because of having built up the team to execute the project and run the farm and overcome all these challenges. It will be, and here in Iceland, there are key why it's so, you can only do this in certain places in the world, because the seawater temperature needs to be perfect for salmon. And it's really, Iceland is very close to that optimal temperature. But also we are using filtered seawater. We make boreholes and we extract the seawater from the boreholes, and that's filtered. So there are no parasites at all in the seawater. So it's a very stable, very, and the risk of diseases, etc., is brought down to minimal. And whereas in the sea pens, we have seen a lot of challenges with sea licenses and sea lice and other diseases. So we believe our vision would be to venture beyond capture or use the experience we have gained and build on some other project and continue the journey.
I love it. So, Laros, imagine if I was to put you into a time machine and I bring you back in time. You know, let's say when you guys were starting out with AXAE, and you're able to stop that younger self on the tracks and be able to give that younger self one piece of advice before launching a business. What would that be and why, given what you know now?
We don't have to go that far. It's 5-6 years back. And I think we, in a way, we didn't realize what we were going into. We could have studied it further and it was my partners or co-founders. They are more into the execution. And I think we should have spent a little bit more time for preparation, but that's, I think, applies to all projects. But the core fundamentals were there. There was a market there and at the right price, and we could produce the salmon at a competitive price. So I think the fundamentals were there. It was more preparation and like we look back and said, you should think slowly and act quickly. So maybe we should have thought things through, but that has not, we might have done it differently. But not really. I think we have the technology that we are applying, I think, is the best one available. And that is the water management and recycling the seawater in certain ratios. To make it easy, I think we should have prepared it a little bit more before we. And I think, but that sometimes you spend too much time on preparation and maybe then you are preparing a journey that you will never.
That's right. Nothing like getting into action. You know, first step is ultimately what makes the difference.
And early on, we got small wins and we saw success. And that, of course, gave us the confidence that we were on the right track and we got early on good support from a lot of people.
Amazing. So, Laros, for the people that are listening, that would love to reach out to you to say hi, and then also that would love to learn more about AXAE, what is the best way for them to do so?
Well, we have a homepage and where there are more, there are, you can find information on the business and as well as reaching me or any other members, the other co-founders and the management team.
Amazing. Well, Laros, thank you so much for being on the Dealmaker Show today. It has been an absolute honor to have you with us.
Thank you.
If you like the show, make sure that you hit that subscribe button. If you could leave a review as well, that would be fantastic. And if you got any value, either from this episode or from the show itself, share it with a friend. Perhaps they also appreciate it. So also remember that if you need any help, whether it is with your fundraising efforts or with selling your business, you can reach me at alejandro@pantheraadvisors.com.
You've reached the end of another episode of the Dealmakers Podcast. For free resources and materials, head over to alejandrocremades.com. Thank you for listening, and see you at the next episode.